Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
Yeah. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Boothman Prime. Oh my gosh, you guys, what an amazing week. Avengers Infinity War came out.
Avengers Infinity War.
And as far as I can tell,
that's a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie.
Feature film.
680 Talkie. People saw it.
Yeah,
I saw
that's
a number, and they're like, big
so
box
low.
Office, 680.
Yeah.
That's huge.
I know.
That's
a
lot of people.
That's so many people. Well, there's so many trailers, it's hard to get through. A lot of people get their money back.
Sure.
Like, I demand a movie now.
And a lot of people go to a movie theater and they're like, I'm only mainly go for the popcorn.
Yeah, I know. That's definitely.
They get popcorn and then they leave.
Yeah, that's fun. That's what Pete does.
Yeah.
We tell the story a lot. I've seen a lot of movies with Pete, or in the same theater, just not next to each other.
Yeah.
That's how friends do stuff.
Yeah. Turn towards the audience if you want, Pete. Totally.
A lot of times I'll go out to dinner with Pete and he'll be like, great, I'll be at the table in the back and you stay up here at the bar. And we really don't talk, but it's fun to just be in the same room.
No, right? Man, Avengers Infinity War are huge. Everybody in the world saw it. It is so big, even my 3-year-old son, who I did not take to see it because it's way too violent and sad. And I'm sure we'll get to
I
that.
Saw people with kids and I was like, what are you doing?
Can we talk about spoilers here? Have you guys all
Has everybody seen
Have
it?
You seen it? Yeah. Guys, we're getting a
not
shrug
like
from one audience.
It's a shrug. That's enough.
Well, if you haven't seen it, definitely like come back to the podcast later. We were talking about it, my wife and I, afterwards, and we're like,
very cool.
She was like, I think we could see it. There's nothing like, there's not blood. There's not too many blood. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Let's take my 3-year-old son to a movie where Spider-Man dies.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea.
Well, I don't know about dies.
It turns to dust.
He vanishes to dust in a very sad moment.
I will say, though, my son, he's 3 years old. He's aware of it.
Yeah, we get it. Jeez.
I'm just very proud.
Stop plugging your son.
The event of the season, have a son.
Yeah, we get it.
The Zalvin seed is strong.
No, my point is, like, this movie is so pervasive, he hasn't seen it, and he still is talking about it all the time.
Well, he did a Reddit AMA about the movie.
Yeah, he did.
It was very unsuccessful. last night I was trying to put him to bed, and he was like, hold on a second, I gotta have an Infinity War really quick. I'm not even joking. What he meant by that was he needed to take out all of his action figures and line them up all together. And I overheard, I don't know if this will only be amusing to me, but...
Were you overheard?
I was eating dinner, and he was just sort of whispering, he was like, it's all the heroes and all the villains this time. And it's not just people, it's animals.
Oh, nice. I mean, that's sort
and
of
then
true.
He pulled out some dress, and I was like, that's a good idea.
Wow. Well, tell your son, Kevin Feige, that I hope he's going to continue in the same pattern and really
Absolutely.
Get it going.
I love you, Kevin. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Guys, I'm very excited about the guest that we have on the show. He is the creator of the graphic novel Float that we're about to talk about in a minute. Howie Knoll!
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Howie! Hey, man, welcome.
Right.
Great to have you.
Hello,
have a seat.
Please
have a microphone.
Right.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Please sit down. All right. Great to have you here. Thanks for coming out. So we're talking about the book Float. I know we gave you a big bombastic intro.
I did get it.
But what is this book around for people who don't know in the audience?
Well, Float is an autobiography about anxiety, and it's also a love story about it. So it's a very trippy interpretation of what it's like to battle generalized anxiety disorder and to use art as a way to explain it to people that don't know about it, or if you do also battle anxiety. So it works for everyone.
Now, we've been actually talking about this, I think, quite a bit over the past couple of weeks, it feels like, in particular, where there is almost this movement to talk about different anxiety or mental illness or things like that through comics. It feels like it's something bubbling up right now. Is that a trend that you've noticed? Have you been talking to
folks
about
it? Did you start it?
I'm going to take credit for that so I get heat.
Please do.
No, but I think anxiety is the easiest one of the mental illnesses that we can talk about, because everybody's had a battle with anxiety, whether it's, you know, short, like, oh, I'm scared about the test tomorrow. Whereas with generalized anxiety disorder, it's you're scared about a test that's never going to come.
Right.
You're scared of, man. Oh, you know, that's the best way to explain it. But I think, you know, conversation is the only way that this is going to be helped. Because what happens is people feel ostracized, and then they
Which
hide
sucks.
In their home. And then yeah. they feel horrible, and then yeah. you know it leads down to a path of, unfortunately, it's suicide. So the way to stop that is inclusion, not exclusion. So I always wanted to do an autobiographical book, and I'd always been working towards this book, it feels like. And the response has been overwhelming to where people got it right away just from the cover image. Like they awesome. Read
yeah.
into
yeah.
it.
And, and it's funny. The cover image is such a peacefulness to it, mm-hmm. almost like a anti-anxiety. So yeah. I feel like that that's nice.
That's what I'm seeking.
Yeah, right.
That's what I want. And it draws people in. It shows
for sure.
you know, when they see it.
Well, yeah. First off, congratulations for being brave enough to do this.
Oh, thank you.
You know, it's a bold move. You know, it had to be scarier. I mean, as someone who's never kind of like done a project like this, it's got to be scary because it's something you're putting out into the world that is also makes you feel a little naked because it's revealing, you know, instead yeah. of hiding behind like superheroes or whatever, you know, I'm just writing Superman comics and maybe Superman talks about anxiety, which isn't kind of the same as what you're doing here. So,
yeah, and I'm pretty revealed in the book itself if you read it. Yeah. Not all the way, just boxers, thankfully. That's as far as I get.
I was inspired by a girl in art school.
Get a full nude in there? No, I'm not that brave. So don't. I didn't go all the way. Maybe that's why. You know.
I feel like so many. I feel like so many writers have anxiety, and it. Why do you think that is? What is it about that connection there?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of creative people get hit with it and other, you know, other forms of with mental health issues, you know, from bipolar to anything with schizophrenia. And I don't know what it is. It's like a blessing and a curse, I guess. You get one and then you get the other. And the thing I wanted to do is to be able you can exist with all your problems. It doesn't matter. You know, don't be ashamed.
Well, I mean, to turn it around a little bit, and I think you can look at it as like a chicken and the egg situation a little bit, but like you were saying, you were able to deal with it by creating a graphic novel, right? So it's not necessarily so much that writers get anxiety so much as you have anxiety and you figure out the right outlet for it is to create this thing.
Yeah, and I had one therapist who said, when I described what I do, I'm like, you get rejection all the time. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, that's probably not good for you. And I'm like,
what am I supposed to do?
I'm not related to anybody. Yeah. Yeah. If anybody that's listening can help me stop the rejection. But, you know, it's one of those things where actually working on the book stirred up more.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because through working on the book, I actually found out where, because it was like, you know, you're doing self-therapy at this point.
Sure.
And I was like, well, we got to figure out, where did this begin? It's got to have a beginning. So the book literally says this is where it begins. And I found out it was in grade school. First grade is the earliest moment of an anxiety attack that I can remember. It's when I was being tested for like gifted class. Oh, wow. And it was a strange teacher. And then it was an egg timer. So imagine that ticking. And then they're telling you to put like things in square, you know, square pegs. And, you know, they're doing these tricks.
Yeah.
And I was like, she said I hyperventilated. This is an anxiety attack. But nobody was taught back then. They didn't know. So
yeah,
there you go. And that helped me go, oh my God, it's from the beginning, you know? And then,
yeah.
Cause you block these things out normally. And this kind of scratched it up. It took me a while to recover after doing it. Cause there's all these raw nerves after creating the project. So I take a couple months off.
So this story really brought you you were sort of telling yourself the story and learning about it as you were writing this.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I launched it, I wasn't prepared for the positive reaction. That's what I always do.
Good. No, I thought you were like, I wasn't prepared to deal with my life.
No.
life was crazy.
Yeah. It was like, the Kickstarter's real. Once it comes to May of last year, it's like, oh, I already made the graphic and we're already launched. And it's like, you got to make this book. You know, I was
so
already halfway through
that,
it.
Though. You talked about, you know, the idea of being a writer, being a creator with anxiety because you're getting rejection all the time is already tough. And then you decide, okay, I'm going to tell my own story in a graphic novel. Again, another level of toughness. What makes you say, cool, let's just push this further and do a Kickstarter?
Well, Kickstarter is just a new way for artists like me that are truly independent comic creators that love this medium. I love sequential art, and this book shows it. I went to school for it, you know, at Pratt Institute in Brooklyn. Shout out to Brooklyn. Brooklyn in the house. But I really wanted to show what I could do, because in the other books, you know, I'd play a little with it, but in this one I had free roam, free reign to do whatever, and I really play with the art form. I just really wanted to show what I could do, and Kickstarter allows that arena where people can find you. And there's that gambling, you know, it's like Vegas. So it's either going to all or nothing, and we're going to make it. And it was the biggest support I've had on that forum. And I was just overwhelmed that many people wanted to support this and spread the word. So many people came together, and they did too. They recognized that it's the first book I've had by them that was a project we love. And it meant the world because it's like, so it's that old adage of do something from your heart. There was a David Bowie quote that inspired me. I forget the exact quote, but it was something about where he said, if you, what you want to do is go out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And when you start tipping out and you start getting scared, that's where you're going to start making something that you'll be, that'll be good.
Yeah. Now this Sorry, go ahead.
Follow the fear is the same.
Where is that from? Is that a David Bowie quote?
It's not a David Bowie quote. But
it's very dark.
Is that from Frank Miller?
Well, it's you know, it used to be on this wall back here because it was an improv thing of like follow the fear.
What, it's not on the wall anymore? Did the fear win?
The fear won.
There it is.
Fear
repainted.
It's there with the lights. I see it.
Right there.
Unless I'm hallucinating.
Yeah, it's still there.
I was too scared to look at it.
I just want to mention, not to like get too much into this quote that you guys can't hear at home, but it's follow the fear. It's by Dale Close, but it looks like it's quoted wrong. Like his name is on top for some reason.
Oh, so it's like Google.
Yeah.
It's like a Google quote. Abraham Lincoln said, follow the fear. Nobody can prove his didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, it's, I'm probably going to get the name wrong. It's Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yes, it is. May, starting today. Yeah.
So how are you, I imagine you're taking this around and talking about this a lot beyond this podcast. How are you, what are you embracing? What are you doing this month?
I'm doing a lot of, starting tomorrow, we're going to do a lot of blog posts. I like my website, hcnoel.com. We just reformatted it, so it's, you know, very easy to use. It's a real home center to float. And what we have there is where people can send in their own firsthand accounts of dealing with anxiety.
Oh, wow.
So it's called, it's a breakthrough, your breakthrough moment. So it doesn't mean, oh, this is how I learned to stop it, because it keeps coming back. But it's people sent me, we started this when I did the book, and I thought, oh, well, you know, we'll get a couple. But we started getting a lot, and really personal ones. So I was making the book, I'd get these ones where people were revealing, you know, what I thought. Because another thing I had, a problem I have is saying, oh, I don't have it that bad. And not really giving myself the care, you know? Right. So if it's kind of like if you get emotionally abused and you're like, well, I wasn't physically abused, so I wasn't that bad. And it really is.
The gradation.
Yeah, that's the way I do it. It's almost like an imposter syndrome, but of your pain. And this book is about you're allowed to focus on it. You know, that's another thing that people are brought up not to, you know, not focus on your pain, you know, because other people do have it bad. But that part of the site is so you can share what helps. You know, because I have really bad anxiety attacks when it's planes. It just happened. And this past trip I had was the first time in 4 years I didn't have it. And that was through tips that I read online.
Wow. Oh, really? Yeah. So what are they? What was the best couple?
The one that I read that was really helped was get a Nintendo Switch. Seriously?
Oh, that was sponsored by Nintendo.
Yeah, sponsored by Nintendo. I wish. I had to buy it myself, but I was like, I couldn't believe, because they said play games.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm focused on everything else. So when you sit in there, and I had to convince my wife, no, this is serious. We need, this is my last option. Yeah. I was getting hives before I was going to buy it, because it's a big purchase for me.
Yeah, sure.
I don't usually just splurge. I usually wait for Christmas or something, but I was like, I got to do it. And it worked because it distracted me from everything else. Like I read that everything on the airplane is designed to give you an anxiety attack.
Wow.
It's tight seat,
tight
quarters.
Who the fuck did that?
Yeah. Pilots.
Pilots? Pilots hate
fuck. I think their turbulence is something they create. Oh, how you doing?
Yeah, just shake it a bunch.
Yeah, having enemies is a great way to just chill out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's why they serve drinks on the plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh. Calm you down, I think. Well, I think that's what the old Fight Club thing, remember?
Yeah.
Why do they pump air?
Yeah.
To get you high. Yeah. And that never helped me when I was thinking they're pumping air in here.
You I'm should like, probably it's make some soap or blow up some buildings.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the general response by Nintendo.
What else? You have a couple of other books, right? What else do you want to plug?
My other series, which people might know, is Terra Normal. She's a supernatural superhero. And she punches ghosts.
Yeah, that's my favorite part. Hey. It's awesome.
She punches
Check
ghosts.
That out. It was a webcomic.
Yeah.
And now it's a graphic novel.
Yeah, it began as a webcomic, and we're actually re-uploading them for the anniversary, because next year is 10-year anniversary of it, which is crazy.
Awesome.
I'm always in decades. I don't know why these projects are taking so long. Flow was quick. Yeah. Flow was a year. So, but so Terra Normal, that is all going to start also this month. Where I'm just uploading everything to the website again so you can check it out. Because, cool. You know, when you transfer the site, I used to have like three sites, like I said. So we're bringing everything to a home. So there's Terra Normal, which is on Comixology too. And also my other book was Mr. Scoodles, which was... I began that in 2000 in art, you know, right after art school, and then I hand sold them to Midtown Comics.
Uh-huh.
So it was, if you ever went to Midtown, you might have seen it. It would look like a
they would do
Animaniac.
Yeah, they would have like little shelves where you would have like a kind of homemade comics, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, that was the best feeling. You'd make these books, friends would help me staple them, and then you'd bring your thing. And I thought, and mine was looked pretty good, you know, because I was like, I'm going to go mainstream on this as far as an ash can.
Yeah.
And I gave you a sticker with it. I was like, that's worth your $2 or whatever I charge.
Yeah, absolutely.
And back then, they don't do it anymore, but back then you could hand sell to comic stores. Yep. So I'd go to JH Universe, you know, and it was really, really, really cool time. But now it's all in a book form, and we're going to be putting that on, everything's going to be on Amazon, so there's a whole library.
Cool.
So Terra's up there, too.
Nice. That's great. Very cool. And you can check out Float there as well?
Not on Amazon, but at hcnoll.com, so all I can sign them for you. We have a new superstore my wife Shelley designed. Super easy.
Excellent. Could you get it on Nintendo Switch?
Oh, God. If they call me. I mean, I just That's promoted the hell out of them.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go. All right. Very cool. We're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah, we do.
And in the stack, we're going to talk about a couple of books.
Yeah. We are going to talk about a couple of books.
Great. Yeah. Three of them.
Classic.
Let's do it. First one, we're going to talk about All New Wolverine, number 34 from Marvel Comics.
Great
Pete,
stuff.
You want to talk about this?
Yeah, this was my pick.
I'm so surprised because you like old Wolverine. So what's this new Wolverine?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I'm nervous about this transition. This is kind of the new Wolverine's last kind of hurrah here. They fast forward in time.
Old woman Laura.
Yeah, and she's kind of knocking stuff off her bucket list here, which, you know, it's very powerful stuff. You know, if you only have a finite amount left and you know when your end's coming, you know, what would you do? And I think it's pretty badass that she's like fighting crime. She's not like, fuck it, I'm going to just go to a desert island and drink myself, you know, silly.
That's
is probably
plan.
What, well...
A desert island?
Well...
You should just go to a regular island.
You think I should just go to a regular island?
I mean, no, there's no bar on the desert island.
Well, that's
island.
The thing. If I was on a regular island, my bucket list would be like, I want to fight everybody in this bar. But if I'm on a desert
that's
island...
That's very strange. You want to fight strangers? An island bar?
I got to go to a vacation with you.
Yeah, no.
I mean, really we're talking that's bucket that's list.
Let me just say, I did go on a vacation with Pete.
Are there
and
fights
it was
everywhere?
Sort of like that. He was...
Yeah, I take it up a notch.
Yeah, it's nice. More Pete than you would ever even want.
What do you think about this book, Justin?
I love this book. I feel like this character, Laura, who has become All New Wolverine, has been so good. Tom Taylor's the writer, and really, it feels like the most... I feel like I know these characters more than almost any other book on the stands. It's really great. This story, she's going to... we find out that Laura is dying. Her body's failing her, so she's going to kill Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
Which is a big...
That's a bold
a big
choice.
Meatball.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're going to kill a doctor, kill Dr. Doom. That's what I always say.
Yeah.
That's a great saying.
Definitely. You do say that a lot.
A lot. Mostly to doctors.
Yeah, that's fun. It's a good, it's sort of a team book. Some friends show up. They're going to have
fight. I'm really scared that when I get my favorite Wolverine back, I'm not going to like him anymore because I'm going to miss this one
maybe,
so much.
Maybe she's your favorite Wolverine.
I'm worried about that.
Don't worry. Enjoy.
Old busted Wolverine coming back. Yeah, this book is great. Really good. You guys pretty much covered it. What I like about this arc in particular, it's a different sort of future story. You know, we've seen the post-apocalyptic future constantly.
Yeah.
This is just a future.
Yeah,
you know, there's nothing. I mean, there's nothing. Yeah. No, it's kind of great.
It's no apocalypse.
I don't know. To have a future where it's like, yep, it's just topian, I guess, not dystopian or utopian.
Dystopia.
It's topian. It's topiary.
Oh, nice. Yeah, there's so many like pruned trees. Let me say to you, do you feel like at some point you're going to live in a post-apocalyptic world in your lifetime?
The second anything like that happens, I'm going to die.
The second? What if it's a regular? Like,
here's what they're going to do. I'm going to be watching TV, and they'll be like, breaking news, it's a zom, and I will just straight up die.
Dead. You'll die out of it.
Not even make it.
And then you become one.
Fear.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, oh, I'm ready now.
Yeah. That is my worst fear, that I'm getting chased down the street by a zombie Zelbin.
I don't know about chased.
You'll get away from this guy.
Yeah, if they're fast, I'm checking out too.
Zelbin, no offense, but I'll kill you. All right. So if you're a zombie,
he's already ready. This guy,
I will.
Let me be honest. I have a feeling Pete's going to kill me just thinking I'm a zombie. Like, I'll be tired one day. He'll be like, "Fuck you, you're dead."
100%. He's kind of sleeping, or is he dead?
Yeah. Dude, Pete, do you think you're going to live in a post-apocalyptic world at some point in your life? You do, 100%. Do.
Yeah.
What's your status? That's a crazy thing to believe. What's your plan? What's your move?
I'm going to get my to-go bags.
To-go? You mean like McDonald's?
No. I have bags stashed in different places. I'm going to gather them all up.
Wait, where? In your apartment?
I'm not going to tell you.
You have them around the city?
I have different locations.
Yo!
I'm going to...
He's got,
wait,
you're like...
are you serious? Do you actually have a go bag?
Are you a prepper?
I guess.
Oh my God.
Yes. I'm not like,
he's a prepper.
Ready. You gotta be ready for it. Yeah. And then I'm going to head upstate. I'm going to head to the Adirondacks.
Well, that's where the guns are.
Yeah.
That's a hint. I know.
That's smart.
He's like, it's always upstate. It's where they keep them.
Is it one of your go bags at Midtown Comics?
I'm not going to tell
you
where my go bag's
full of Midtown Comics. Great.
Cool. What other comics do you guys want to talk about?
Oh, we have a couple. We're going to talk about Terrifics number 3.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about Terrifics number 3.
We got a fan.
Right, there you go. From DC Comics. This is one of the new wave of DC Comics where they're bringing in new heroes or new combinations of heroes. This is actually a bunch of older heroes and one newer one. It's taking Metamorpho, Mr. Terrific, Plastic Man, and a new character who I'm blanking on the name of, who's like Zizzle Blizzle.
That's the planet she's from. Yeah. Phantom Lady, I think.
Phantom
is
Lady,
who it
sure,
is.
There you go. Yeah. And they found out last issue, after they came back from the Dark Universe, that they're all stuck together. That they all can't get, Quantum and Woody style, they can't get far away from each other, or they'll disperse into the ether. This book's a lot of fun. I gotta say, of all of the new things out of DC, I don't know if you've been reading any of the new stuff out of DC at all, Howie?
I'm one issue behind on Metal, so I can't get there.
Oh,
it's all waiting for me in my comic store.
Yeah,
local
there's some other
shop.
Stuff. They continue making comics.
I know, yeah. I'm like, isn't it gonna spoil it? I don't know. Does Metal...
Not really.
Does it lead into the new ones?
No.
Not really.
Just being a dick.
But this is fun. This is like, I think you mentioned this is like DC's Fantastic Four, and it's great.
Oh, that's exciting.
You know what it reminds me of? This goes back many years to Zero Hour in DC. They had a book called Primal Force, which was sort of a random mix of people, and it was a very elemental dealing with the planet, making the planet nicer. Back when it was more of a thing, what he cared about. And this is this is like different. That's sort of a different mix.
Shade.
I got you. And so I like this a lot. These characters are like, it's one of those classic, like, shake up the basket of characters. Oh, here's who we have. Different personalities. Will they get along? Sometimes.
Yeah.
Did you like it, Pete?
No, I did not like it.
Why?
It's all of my least favorite characters together.
Your least favorite characters?
That's impossible. One of these characters is new.
Well, guess what? They joined my list of least favorite characters.
What do you dislike about these characters?
I don't relate to them. I don't.
You don't relate to them?
Yeah, I
don't
particularly
like them.
Don't
you ever feel like a plastic man?
No, I've never felt like the plastic man.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about a rubber band man?
Nope. Never felt like that either.
What about a metamorpho always changing?
Nope. Never felt like that.
Have you ever felt like a terrific guy?
Nope.
sort of Mr. Terrific?
Nope, never felt like that.
But you, hold on. You like the show Arrow on the CW?
Don't you fucking bring up this show if you're just going
to
shut me down.
No, I'm not going to. I'm just saying, Mr. Terrific is a character on that show, and you can't shut up about him on that show. You don't like him?
I like the actor who plays him.
Echo Kellum?
Yeah, and also I thought the character arcs that they gave him were fantastic, and like his Terrific. Relationship stuff was really great.
So you like the character?
But I don't like the fact that he wears a jacket that says Terrific on it. I think that's kind of a douchey thing.
It actually says Fair Play.
Yeah, well, it also says Terrific. And one harm, I think it says Terrific. And then
no, it's Fair Play. Play.
Because he believes in playing very fair.
Do you watch Arrow?
Yes, I'm the only one who fucking watches it on.
You
guys don't watch it at all. I watch every
episode. Here's what I think's going on. I think you browse through Entertainment Weekly and you're like, oh, that show looks
cool. He's always browsing through Entertainment Weekly. Flipping through, getting a free subscription to your house and just browsing through Entertainment Weekly.
You don't even know what's going on in Arrow right now, you guys.
Yeah, I know. I don't watch it because I'm not browsing through Entertainment Weekly. Not flipping through with my little fingers.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I also don't like what's happening on Arrow real quick? I'll just tell you what's happening on Arrow.
Arrow, no.
Okay, let's move on then. Doctor Strange Damnation, number 4, I want to say?
Yes, that is accurate.
All right, wrapping up that. I love this crossover. This
was amazing comic.
So much fun. Mephisto ends up opening up a casino in the middle of Las Vegas. All the bets in Las Vegas end up being souls, and of course, Doctor Strange is like, ah, crap, I got to stop this. Bunch of heroes stop it, get turned into Ghost Riders. Eventually turn it around and twist it around. This was really fun. I did not expect this crossover to be as fun as it actually was. Pete LePage.
There's also a really touching moment where Doctor Strange sits down with Wong and talks about how much he appreciates everything he sacrifices for him.
That's a great friendship. He's an employee of Doctor Strange. So.
Well, they're friends.
Are they?
They also work together.
Yeah, but they're like, it's like a butler situation.
It's not like, I mean, they both have mutual respect for each other.
That was very clear.
You think Doctor Strange is like, yeah, we're on the same ground. We're on equal footing. Even though Wong's like, who's bringing the soup to who?
Well, yeah, if that's all that matters to you, then I guess.
I'm not saying me, I'm just saying. Yeah, I think Doctor Strange is.
Let me ask you a question. Wong and Foggy get into a fight. Who wins?
Wong.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's right. What if they get into a legal battle?
Foggy.
Foggy. Yeah. Okay, great.
Well, did you say Woggy?
No, I said Foggy.
Woggy, the dream character. Pete doesn't like all these fun characters in The Terrifics, but he liked the lawyer and the assistant in Doctor Strange.
Don't call him an assistant. He's much more than that.
He's a butler.
He's not a butler.
He's a soup guy.
Yeah, he's the soup
guy.
No, he's so much more.
Howie's right.
You guys are missing the big picture.
I agree. This book is, this crossover has been very fun. The art has been fantastic on it. You sort of feel the heat the whole time.
And it was nice to see Mephisto lose instead of him just doing some bullshit deal and disappearing.
He often loses because he's a bad guy. But it was cool. Doctor Strange, I mean, it's funny seeing Infinity War and then reading this Doctor Strange book, how different the comic book Doctor Strange is from the movie Doctor Strange, which I guess we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think what Donny Cates, who wrote this, is doing here is he's following up on Jason Aaron's run of Doctor Strange that so clearly delineated who Doctor Strange is right now, which is much more of a sad sack character than the asshole that we've known in comics for a really long time.
Yeah.
That's great. All right, that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
Guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah. Woo! And each one of the questions also get a copy of Float.
Yeah, there we go. All right, what is your name? What is your question?
My name is Fear. I invite you to follow me.
Holy crap.
We must follow you.
Holy crap.
The Fear.
Now, you were talking about the team-up books and the Terrifics and also Pete's idea for a book teaming up Foggy and Wong.
That would be fun. Let's throw Alfred in there.
I was going to say Jarvis, who's at least Marvel.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
No, I want to cross the universe.
Just kind of got you on that.
There. Shut up.
What are some teams that you've never seen in comics that you would like to?
Nice. Some surprising team-ups.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all into Butler Squad. The amalgam age of butlers where you get Jarvis, you get Alfred, you get Wong, all of them together just serving stuff and nobody eating anything.
Just think of the different like tea temperatures.
Oh my god!
They're serving
assholes.
Like a lukewarm tea, like a hot
such
tea.
Assholes, man.
What are Howie? What are some team ups that you would like to see? Some teams.
I just want Aquaman and seahorses. Seriously, oh, yeah. Nice. Draw the shit out of that.
The team up we all
just seahorses.
Nice, just trying to raise other seahorses.
Well, yeah, you know, there's an Aquaman movie coming out. Maybe you're going to get that.
I want it hard.
That's a great.
I'm a little worried about how much you want.
You have
that.
No idea.
That's a great number one answer.
I feel like you get kicked out of aquariums. Like, sir, you got to get away from the seahorses.
Like, you know, Aquaman.
You're like, I want it bad.
Imagine him riding one of these. That's all I say.
Oh, imagine nice. They're very tiny.
Yeah. Imagine cool. A very jagged blonde man in orange armor with green pants just riding one of these.
That's wait, is that I'm going to have to ask you to leave the seahorse. Is the seahorse super jacked too?
Yes, the seahorse would be
very
jacked
muscular.
If I drew this thing.
Pete, do you have a combination? Now, in a comic book world, most everyone's been teamed
up. Yeah, I know. That's why, you know, you have beautiful things like X-Force, you know, stuff like that, where it takes all the sharp people, puts them together, which I really appreciate.
That's a smart thing.
You know, I would like to be able to, like, try to get, like, the angriest, you know, people in, like, one team. That would be cool to see. You know, like, the meanest, the most hardcore.
The kinds.
No, not the villains. The good guys. You know, like Midnighter. You know, stuff like that. People have, like, real rage issues. You know?
Okay, cool. Very on brand.
You know, and that way, if you just put them on one team and there's not some asshole leader guy who's always talking them down, like, what could they really get done? You know
so
I mean?
You'd like just a large group of people with no leader, just sort of an
screaming
mob.
At each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, cool. That's a good
I'd love to see Punisher and Ant-Man team together, like some sort of long picnic or something like that.
Oh, nice. Cool. Yeah, because Ant-Man
you
is
can't
not
can't say Punisher
invited.
And picnic in the same sentence, you yeah. fucking asshole.
Oh, yeah. Wow, really aggressive. Jesus. Unnecessary.
He hasn't gone on a picnic since.
I feel like... I mean, you want to combine like some fun traits. Like, what about Galactus on trial for eating all of the planets?
Oh, wow.
Foggy Nelson represents him.
Foggy represents him?
Yeah, he's the herald.
Oh.
No, he's the herald and bailiff of Galactus.
Right, and for the prosecution is Ego the Living Planet. Ooh, is yes. The lawyer on the other side. Yeah.
I know.
The witnesses are all the
cocky.
Watchers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all the watchers.
And with all they're watching.
I watched it.
Yeah. Permission to approach the bench.
Great.
Good stuff. I think that's the combination we've all wanted.
Cool. Yeah. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get another question. You, sir, what's your name? What's your question?
The name of fear.
Oh, your itself. Fear also?
What wow, is the chance of this?
Yeah. Two people named Fear.
What's up, Pablo?
A lot
hello,
of,
Pete.
Parents not happy about having a child.
That's a common name back in the day.
Yeah. I'll name you Fear.
They'll never
I can
be
imagine
another.
The kids today were named themselves Fear in high school.
Yeah.
Like, Fear.
Ooh. Okay, my question, well, Thanos is like the most craziest man in comics, and he's proved that in Infinity War. I won't say much. So,
are you roasting him? Or
yeah, what's going on?
It does feel like
Thanos. Is he the craziest? I don't know.
White
if
House Correspondence Dinner.
Yeah.
He's certainly the craziest California raisin, if you know what I mean.
Oh, man.
Burn.
Ooh, the Four Tops. Look out.
Wow, deep breath.
Yeah.
You really get the California raisins. Yeah, sorry.
Please
we
give us the question.
You from your question.
Can we just talk about the California raisins now?
One of the craziest
bring it back.
Pop culture things.
Raisins or California raisins?
No. Wow.
Okay. Big difference.
What is the most insane thing you ever experienced in a movie?
The thing I've ever experienced? We've ever experienced seeing a movie?
Yes.
On screen or just in our lives?
Yeah, like things that happen to us during a movie.
During a movie?
Well,
while we're sitting in the audience?
I'll tell you, apropos of the book that we're talking about, I had a straight-up panic attack while I was watching Logan. Like,
oh, boy.
Legit.
Really?
In the middle of it, like watching Professor X die in particular, just watching him be old. Sorry. Movie came out, I don't know, 36
spoiler,
years ago or something.
Yes.
But watching him slowly die, like, I had a moment of mortality where, like, I could not breathe while I was watching the movie, where I was like, what am I doing?
Really?
I'm sitting in a movie, I'm watching this. Just, I started... getting shortness of breath. I started sweating. It affected me for days. It wasn't even necessarily like the content of the movie so much as I was suddenly struck by my own mortality while I was watching it. It was rough.
So. Because you identify so much with Professor X?
Worship
him?
No. That was the weird part about it. It was that, like, I thought the movie was fine. I was fine with the movie, but there was something about the subject matter of the movie, and because I was watching it, my brain started going, and I started being like, I'm sitting in a dark theater. I'm here. I went to see it by myself, and I was like, I'm alone. This movie has another hour and a half to go. That's an hour and a half less of my life when I get out of here.
Yeah.
And it was just this spiral that I started going down.
That's when your mind does it itself.
What was in your popcorn?
What?
What was in your popcorn?
Crazy amount of mushrooms.
Yeah, I guess.
No. It was sadness. It was really weird and rough. Yeah. So to be perfectly honest, that was the toughest time that I've had.
Hey man, I'm glad you made it through that all right.
Thanks. Yeah. Not quite there yet, but we'll see what happens.
Great. Oh man.
Great. Let's do a rewatch. Pete, what do you say?
I think the movie that really affected me the most was when I was at Ryan Clark's sleepover at his house. It was
recent?
All the
is
neighborhood
this
kids. No, this when I was a little kid. I was like,
wasn't a recent
7 or 8 years old, and we watched Nightmare on Elm Street, and we weren't supposed to. And I couldn't sleep for days, and I was really upset that no one else was talking about Freddy, because it's all I wanted to talk about.
No one else in the world?
Mom wasn't talking about Freddy, like nobody, like my teachers.
Did you
believe? Guys, if you go to sleep, you're going to die.
You believe Freddy was real?
Yeah, I believe Freddy was real, yeah.
Can I, not to keep telling super sad stories about myself that affected me for my entire life, but on Nightmare on Elm Street, I turned on the TV when I was a kid at a commercial for Nightmare on Elm Street at the exact moment when Freddy pulls Johnny Depp into the bed, and I was like, oh God, what's this? Turn it off. Since that point, I've finally gotten over this, like, honestly, 5 or 6 years ago. I couldn't sleep on my back. Because I was like, well,
oh
if I sleep
God.
On my back,
damn.
Freddy is going to reach
it
to
is
the
such
bed.
A good movie.
That's
yeah,
real.
And pull me through. And I just psyched myself out as a kid, and it just stuck with me.
Because
forever.
You think of yourself as Johnny Depp.
And you look similar.
You do have a vibe.
Crazy.
Yeah, you have sort of a part of the character.
I'm always wondering why the rum is gone.
Do you wear the crop top football shirt that he wore in that? I was like, no crop tops for me.
It's actually crazier here on when Alex isn't wearing a crop top.
He's got his headphones and his teeth.
He's got a mesh crop top.
He was pretty rich kid because he had a TV on his stomach, right? Didn't he? Wasn't he watching the TV like?
Like a
little TV.
Yeah.
On
I thought for a second you meant like a TV. It is.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. Oh, like he's a Ninja Turtle.
Do you have a movie that really changed your life?
Affected
you?
He wasn't freaked out, right?
Yeah. Or just affected you in a way. It doesn't have to be another Alex stressed out story.
Oh, that's true. I was going to get really sad, but I don't want to.
Cause you don't have to.
I could tell a sad one. Let's tell a funny one.
Yeah, good.
A funny one.
Great choice.
The movie that I love, and I have a tattoo of it, is The Shining. And it actually doesn't scare me. Like, I love it. And it was always that movie that was on, and my dad and I would watch together.
Wow.
And I never got that. It's probably a bad movie for a dad to watch with his kid because he's a terrible.
Yeah.
Jack's a terrible parent, but I'm totally on his side. And I think when you get older, you're like, oh my God.
You kept telling your dad, you're just like him.
He looks
like
him. Yeah,
oh,
my
really?
Dad looks like Jack.
Oh man.
And that has similar hair. And you're just like, I root for Jeb, but I was funny that it was our bonding movie. It would always be on somewhere, and we'd watch the whole thing. You know, it's always edited.
Watch the whole thing.
It'd be edited for TV, so you didn't get the full bathtub.
Right.
Oh, man.
You know. Or,
what tattoo did you get? In my mind, you got just like he's like yelling through the door.
Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't get that one yet. I got the Shining girls, but I got my character, Tara Normal, as the girls. Standing with their hands held.
Mashup tattoo.
Nice. Yeah, I do like this sleeve's, it's a beginning. It's personal, but there's twists, so people are like, oh.
That's cool.
Yeah, I like that.
I saw Justice League in 40X, and it was a nightmare.
We got another one last question up here. Come on down, sir. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, my name's Jason.
Hey, Jason.
Holy shit.
I have two quick questions. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Well, one is on the way down when you said that you're a fan of The Shining. I wanted to ask you, do you think that movie really is about Stanley Kubrick confessing to faking the moon landing?
Oh, I love that theory. I don't believe so. I watched that documentary and
I watched that documentary too. Garbage.
Yeah, I thought
absolute garbage.
I love conspiracy theories to a point, and then I go, oh god, because some are good, and then some are. There's seven windows.
That's what I was like. Yeah, they were like the floor plan. The window wouldn't be there. I was like, that's not a conspiracy theory. That's a production choice.
Yeah. Now I would. Now here's the thing. If he did film the moon landing, I'm just as proud of American because he's one of my favorite filmmakers. And damn it, if we didn't go to the moon, which we did. I don't want to end up on the internet. I don't want to end up like, you know.
Not
we
leading
did.
That. It's the time to be the, we, a conspiracy theorist.
I know it. I know. But I'm not good at marketing. So
you're going the other way.
But
everything's
like,
normal.
How great is that? One of the greatest directors of all time got us there.
Do you think the people choosing, they were like, well, we go with Kubrick, maybe Spielberg.
Would Hitchcock? Because kind of Hitchcock wouldn't do that.
Yeah,
Hitchcock, he's like, I don't have the time
for
this.
There's going to be like a bird there.
Yeah, he's
something.
Like, there's no story. You're just on the moon.
it'll end where you got to see like Hitchcock's belly in the shot for some reason.
There would be a very attractive blonde astronaut.
Yeah,
that would be tortured as soon as she stepped off. I'd watch that moon landing.
Oh, really, really quick. The other one. Now that Avengers is out, Infinity War rather, can you guys like rank? Where does it fall in the rank? Can you rank the Marvel
Great
movies
question.
Like top five?
Great question. Well, let's have Alex go first so we can just destroy him because his rankings
Hold on. Do you want to talk about it? I'll actually get my ranking on my phone.
Oh well, yeah. Okay. Well, you want to talk about the movie, the whole movie, or just the ranking?
Yeah. We can go into Week and Week. We can talk about it.
Yeah. Let's say that's a great segue. It's a great segue.
Thank you.
God, who is this guy? So let's move it over and do the Week and Geek.
Yeah, Week and Geek.
In the Week and Geek, we talk about right now Avengers: The Infinity War.
Yep.
So let's get into it. Obviously, Pete saw it this weekend. I saw it.
Yep.
Great. And Alex saw it.
Yeah, I saw it.
Great. Did you see the movie?
I saw it.
Excellent.
Great. Nice. We've all seen it.
2.5 hours, some credits, and then one extra scene.
Right.
So that's a lot of movie.
Yeah, people, there were some trailers before it.
There were. I did notice those.
Yep. People still getting up and leaving
before the movie.
Did you see what?
Newbie.
That was awful. Menounos. Sitting through Newbie was awful.
Well,
they're trying to get me to get an app.
Now.
Oh, we're just sitting there like, stop.
No, dude, I love that lady.
Did you get the...
What's Newbie?
Margolis?
Yeah, Maria Menounos.
Oh, I like her. No, the Newbie, there's an app. Did you get the game?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I'm talking about the game. They put a Newbie game in mine.
What the fuck is this?
You're supposed to download the game.
This is before the movie.
You don't get to places early, so you don't know.
It's the 20 minutes before.
I was seeing a 9:40 screening of it. I got there at 9:42.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you suck.
Yeah, dude. I'm there at 9.
You're wasting your goddamn life.
There was a line outside my theater like it was 1970s and we were seeing Jaws. I couldn't I'm like, let us in. This is... what is this?
I got to see Newbie.
You didn't see the Newbie?
What did you guys think? What did you think, Justin?
I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
I thought for a movie to to be able to coordinate, literally it's like a coordination problem to have all these characters show up and have it all make sense. The way they were able to boil each character down to one sort of emotional movement for the movie and then pay it all off was great. The way they confidently didn't have to show a ton of Captain America and Black Widow and just have them show up, be awesome, but not really get in their heads because they're saving that for the next movie, I thought was awesome. The emotional arc of the movie, like right there, like you're really with Thor, you're with the Guardians, you're with Iron Man a little bit, like just, and Spider-Man I thought was so good in this movie. It's just, it was a highlight reel. What I think they smartly did is told it in sections as opposed to like doing like a cutty montage for 2.5 hours. It was like Thor and the Guardians for a while. Then we got to some New York stuff. We got to really be with the characters for a while and then in a satisfying way move on to the next section.
I was super surprised that Pete was not throwing shit today. That's what I was most surprised
about.
What
do you mean by throwing shit? Like a monkey?
Yeah, like literally throwing
like feces.
Shit. Because a lot of people are freaking out, particularly people who did not expect how the movie was going to go. And Pete usually falls into that mold. But
right.
when we talked about it a little bit before the show, you were pretty reasonable about it.
Also, I had
for
to talk...
For the first time in the 13 years we're doing the show.
I had to talk people down in my row. When it ended, a lot of people were like, what the fuck? And I had to be like, listen, it's going to be all right, guys. This it's like you're stopping a story halfway through, okay? This is part one of a two-part story, all right? So
you were in a row of people who had never seen a movie before.
No, well, I was in people who haven't read Infinity Gauntlet, who aren't aware of the big story arc.
This is insanity to me. This is insanity to me because, like, we've done the show every week for over a decade,
yep.
and consistently, Pete, after we read a comic book, is like, what the fuck did they do at the end of that
yeah.
issue?
Yeah.
I am going to literally burn New York to the ground, mm-hmm. and you were the voice of reason?
Yeah, I was the voice of in reason for my whole
Where
row.
Where is that guy?
I yeah. got to meet these nine psychopaths that you had to talk down as the leader. In the one-eyed universe, you are the not blind, or however that phrase goes.
I mean, you said that really well.
Now, that being said, as far as the movie is concerned, I thought the Red Skull thing was amazing. I was very excited about that.
That's cool.
I also really love the Rocket Raccoon talking about how he's going to get his arm. That made me so happy. But I was pretty disappointed with how it ended because I hate that kind of ending. In it. I just put 2.5 hours in, and you're gonna, you know.
Have you ever seen this movie? The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Oh fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's like.
But I felt like it was
because they're gonna
first time I saw Lord of the Rings, I had no idea. Read the books, I had no idea, and I was so fucking pissed. I was so mad at Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I blinked at the ending and missed the closing. I blinked literally, and I didn't get that fulfilling fade out that you get at movies, you know?
No.
And I was pissed, too, because I go, was it just over? Like, I knew it was going to end soon because you're like 2.5 hours, but I missed that fade out.
Yeah.
I did like the fact that, like, what they tried to do is they tried to make Thanos the protagonist of the movie. So
it's
they
his
made
movie.
It, he won, and that's the end of
that's
the movie.
That's your movie. It's his movie.
Yeah.
As a Thanos fan... I loved it.
Me too.
I loved it, man.
And honestly, Josh Brolin played Thanos, right?
Unbelievable.
So fucking good.
Yeah.
And with all the CGI, like, he was just really carried the whole movie. And ending with him just, like, at the end of Infinity Gauntlet, like, sitting on the steps watching the sun, I thought was...
Yeah,
so
I thought that was great. I loved the end of the movie. I loved how quiet it was at the end. Just the way that everybody faded away was so sad. You're sitting in the theater and you hear... Everybody scream in the theater every single time it happens.
Somebody,
but I will say the gasp when Black Panther faded was intense.
Dude, when Wakanda came on the screen, everybody went nuts.
There was
like,
so
that
many
was
clapping.
A fun moment where it's like, Wakanda, everybody's like, yeah! And I'm like,
well,
guys,
all of that,
get ready.
Hang on,
get
because
ready.
It's not going to...
Yeah, I mean, the way that they did the ending I thought was wonderful. I was okay with the movie overall, like as a movie, but I agree with you. Like, I think coordination-wise, it was very impressive. The action was fantastic.
It was
so much funnier than I thought it was going to be. Like, legit comedy set pieces in the middle. The stuff with Drax being invisible. I could not believe that they stopped that movie for like 2 solid minutes to just do Drax pretending.
Drax was very funny.
It works. It works every time he does it. Dave Bautista's hilarious.
He's so
amazing.
Oh,
he's so good. And it's not... You're not like, oh my God, you don't roll your eyes a bit when he does it. He's so good. And I felt the comedy, you needed it because in this one of all of them, because Marvel gets a thing. And I hate when other movies try to copy it, they're awful because they're not funny. Like Marvel, the
what
writers.
What was crazy to me about the humor, though, like, and I know from reading about it afterwards that they talked to Taika Waititi about the Thor stuff and they talked to James Gunn about the Guardian stuff to make sure that it all lined up. And like, the way that they do jokes in that movie is very different than the way that they do jokes in an Avengers movie. But it was stunning to me to have things like that in the middle of Avengers Infinity War, where, like, the Peter Dinklage joke, where I don't remember exactly how they work it, but he's like, don't do that, that'll kill you. And then Thor says, only if I die. And then Peter Dinklage is like, that's literally what killing means.
Yeah.
That's not just a quip. which I feel like you normally see in an Avengers movie. Like, it's a joke. Like, it's structured as a joke, and it's a setup and a joke. And to me, that was fantastic. I love that.
Yeah. Peter Dinklage was, that was such a great
one. His voice was a little weird. He was like putting on a voice. It. And they talked about Peter Quill putting on a voice when he's talking to Thor. But then
And then later, that was so funny.
The Dinklage.
That's how I talk when you talk.
That was very funny, yes. I agree. It was very funny, and they were able to seamlessly jump back and forth between all the comedy and all the great action. So.
And then, the action was fantastic as well. Like, I really enjoyed it. I just think there was a nice arc there, but it was not my favorite arc of the Marvel movies.
Yeah. I loved it.
The Stormbreaker, that was amazing, too.
That was crazy. And I feel like this was the best Guardians movie.
What?
Really?
Yes.
No.
This was
a
Guardians movie, and I think it was the best one.
No. We're going to talk about the ranking. Do you want to rip apart my ranking?
Yes, please. Why don't we hear Alex's very sensible ranking?
Yeah. Do you want to hear from the top down or the bottom up?
Top down, because we're not going to get to the bottom up.
I'll do it real quick. So this is rough. This is subject to change. Like I was mentioning to somebody.
No, this is in stone.
Oh, this is in stone. This is, I will never change this, no matter how many times I see these movies.
You'll die with this on your headstone.
At the bottom, starting at the bottom. You ready? This is all the Marvel movies. Incredible Hulk, Thor the Dark World, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Avengers Infinity War, Iron Man 3, Spider-Man Homecoming, Captain America Civil War, Thor Ragnarok, Avengers Age of Ultron.
That's the craziest part. That's where the problem really gets worse.
Captain America the First Avenger, Marvel's The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor, Black Panther, Captain America the Winter Soldier.
What the fuck? Is that?
Is that how they came out?
Did you even?
Is that how they came out in the theater?
Did you put them in a hat and then pull them out randomly? That doesn't make any fucking sense.
I talked to my son Kevin Feige about it.
No, that's
what we determined between the two of us.
Yeah, he's a child.
Your son needs to leave your family because you are a fucking moron.
That is crazy. Wow, that is so nasty. And Pete, your list is just whatever the most recent one is. I love it.
No.
What is your? Do you have a?
Mine still is Iron Man because it started it all, and you can't have any of them after that because that movie was so good.
Number two, Incredible Hulk, and then number three, Thor.
He likes them in order.
You got to watch them in order.
No. Strict. Number one is Iron Man. Number two is Black Panther. Number three is Guardians, the first one. The last Infinity War, I can't rank it yet because I haven't seen the whole fucking movie. We just saw half of it. We just saw half of the movie, so you can't even put it on the list
yet.
You'd
consider the other movies complete movies, even though it's all been building toward this movie? And it's all building. You've read comics before.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the whole thing with them, too.
Yeah, but it leaves you hanging, so it's not a real ending
it's
of a fucking
hanging,
movie.
It's over.
Yeah, that's it.
Thanos won.
It's over. Man.
They canceled the next Avengers.
That's not true.
He fixed the world. It's done.
Yeah, it's good.
This is the end of Avengers.
He snaps his fingers and thinks it's over doesn't mean it's actually over.
He won.
My faves, Winter Soldier. This is maybe top three.
Wow.
Thor Ragnarok is up there.
Yeah, Thor Ragnarok is up there.
The way they've just been able to... like maximize the fun. I feel like you go back and watch the original Avengers and it all feels a little stilted now. They've learned so much in making these movies.
Come on, dude. I'm always angry. Come on, dude. That part was fucking amazing.
You want to sit here and talk about the cool things in these movies?
No, but that made that.
Welcome to our show, by the way.
Yeah.
Hey, it's great to be here. You seem crazy. You seem like you're like want to be in charge. It's great to meet you.
Thank you. Great to meet you.
Somebody came in with a bad attitude today. That's what I think is going on. Guys, we're going to run out of time, so we're going to move to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
LePage, the star of trivia, coming home. To win the
really
day.
Still, this is your thing? You're going to be doing this every fucking time? This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Who would like $25 free? Yes, you, sir.
Come on down.
Is that first stand-up guy?
That is first stand-up guy, yes. Casual about it.
Entered the Pete LePage Cinematic Universe. You are co-starring in Trivia once again. Congratulations.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25 is yours. Mm-hmm. Today's trivia is on Howie Knoll.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Hey, that's
question
me.
Number,
okay.
Oh,
question
I can help
one.
You. You would crush at this, man.
I would be really
Yeah,
good.
You would be great at this.
In 2009, what was the popular web comic that he published? Is it A, Terra Normal, B, Sarah Freaky, or is it
what?
C, or is it C, Justin's a dick who won't just let me do trivia without making a big fucking stink about it? So it's either A, if you would like $25, or you could pick C, and I'll also accept that.
I like A. But
A is correct.
Hey,
yeah.
Let me ask you, Pete, did you bother to write that down in your
Yeah,
phone?
It's there if you want to read it.
Please.
Question number two, Howie's art has also appeared on what famous property? Is it A, CW's Arrow? I wish.
Oh.
B, TheWalkingDead.com, or is it C, you would think after doing your show for years, you would be able to just let me have one thing and not make a big fucking deal about it. So it's either A or B.
B.
B is correct. That's right, WalkingDead.com. All right, here we go. What is the name of Howie's first comic strip that was published in his school paper?
Oh, deep cuts.
Was it A, The Boonies, B, The Moon Pie Chronicles, or is it C, Justin Sucks Balls?
I mean, if it was C, that would be crazy.
I don't know how they let that print.
Yeah, I know, I know.
So it's either A... or it's B.
Pete self-published.
It's got to be A.
A is correct.
Oh,
the Boonies. $25 free. There you go, Pablo. Wow.
Man, what a diva Pete
I never
is.
Thought I'd hear the Boonies get a shout out
yeah, dude.
On a podcast.
That's what our show is all about.
That's amazing.
All right, guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Well, there's a lot of great stuff coming out, but the first one is Hunt for Wolverine Weapon Lost, number one. And also, I'm excited to check out Red Sonja because our former booth man is working on it. I'm excited to see what he does.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Justin, what about you?
So loyal to that person, but not these people on the show. I'm looking forward to Black Science number seven.
It was treated me nicely.
Black Science number 35, one of my favorite books, which is a team of a family and a bunch of other people who have been thrust into across dimensions, and a bunch of horrible things have happened to them, and they've been struggling for 35 issues to try to make it right.
Cool.
And it's fantastic.
I'm looking forward to Coda number one is coming out tomorrow. I don't actually know a lot about this book other than it seems to be a dude riding around on a gigantic dog monster thing. Looks really
yeah,
pretty.
That's all. You had me at that.
There you go. Howie, what are you looking forward to?
I'm here to promote Milk and Cheese because I like Evan Dorkin.
Yes.
And they have a new product coming out. Is that a lunchbox?
Yeah, maybe it's a lunchbox. Could be.
It's $19.99.
All right,
that's
what
there I'm
we go.
Just go give your money to Evan. He's awesome.
Plug your stuff again. What should people check out?
You can go to hcnoel.com, and we have copies of all my stuff except the Boonies. We have Float, copies in stock with the soundtrack by my friend Victor Guest, and we have Terra Normal. Copies on there. I sign them all for you and Mr. Scoodles. And also on Amazon, you can go get Terra Normal.
All right. Very cool. Couple of things before we go. We have our live show at our guest. Next week is Brian Cronin, the writer of 100 Things X-Men Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. He's also a contributor for CBR, so we'll chat about all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Also, we should mention that we do a bunch more podcasts, Riverdale After Dark, our Riverdale podcast, Inside Legion, our Legion podcast, After Krypton, our Krypton podcast. Coming up, our Preacher podcast will be coming back as well.
It's
as
too much. It's
they
too
just
much.
Announced American Gods.
Season
two just started. So that's
we're talking about doing a Cloak and Dagger podcast.
We've talked about it, but we're not going to do it.
We're going to do a sandwich podcast. We eat a lot of sandwiches. So that's
true.
It's
actually being developed for television.
Yeah, it's pretty huge. We got millions of dollars for that. I'm really excited. That said, if you want to support this show and other shows we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub, or if you're here in the theater, we have a little hat you can throw a couple of bucks into. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for the podcast. More, a couple of people you want to thank before we go. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Ebon Bell, Tom Radar, Craig Fletcher, Dave McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Howie for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Booth Man Prime.
Most of all, we want to thank you guys for every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends good night.
Good night, guys. Thank you.
Good night. Thanks for listening. What's up, Scott?